All right, we're going to turn our attention to the fentanyl crisis in our community. And I'm joined now once again by Michael Brown. He is the Global Director of Counter-Narcotics Technology at Rigaku Analytical Devices, also former senior DEA special agent. Michael, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, sir. Doing well. Yourself?
Doing very well. Doing very well. Thank you for coming back on. And Michael, I really look forward to these conversations that I hope we're setting up now that we can have ongoing as, you know, different things come up, you know, or if we just need to be enlightened in some of the information that has been, you know, polluting our news. And I say it like that because fentanyl is pollution. You know, what the drug cartels are doing with trafficking and getting, you know, these crimes into our community, the proliferation of them in our community, that is absolutely polluting our streets. And so I want to start there a little bit about your background again, and then we'll dig in.
Yes, sir. I recently retired from DEA as a senior special agent after 32 years of service. I've worked in pretty much all of the countries that produce narcotics in the world. I spent about 21 years working overseas, primarily as a country attaché and special advisor to the U.S. ambassador regarding U.S. drug policy. My final 2 years at DEA headquarters, I worked in strategic planning and development, working again with our DEA foreign offices and trying to develop strategies to mitigate the global threat of transnational criminal organizations, specifically the Mexican cartels.
All right. Thank you for that background. So lock it in on this, folks, because we have an opportunity and a privilege to be able to talk with someone who's been on the front lines of the war on drugs for, you know, 3 decades or more. So why American law enforcement, Michael? Why are we losing the battle against fentanyl?
Well, we really have to look at the definition of losing the battle. I think domestically, DEA and local and state law enforcement agencies are actually winning that battle, where they're making arrests, they're making seizures. They're doing as much as they can under their current constitutional authority. And that's very important to understand, because law enforcement has to go through a process: investigations, evidence collection, prosecution, conviction. The cartels have no rules, no regulations, and they exist in another country. So technically speaking, U.S. law enforcement's judicial authority ends at the U.S.-Mexican border. Then we have to rely on our Mexican counterparts to pick up the ball and run it down the field, and that simply is not happening. That is where we are losing the international conflict against drug trafficking and production.
So, Michael, you mentioned to me last week that we only have, what, about 4,000 of these DEA agents working globally. How can we address the crisis on the international front when we simply don't have enough officers out there?
Well, relying on our foreign counterparts is the force multiplier, right? DEA is in roughly more than 50 to 60 countries around the world. Those foreign counterparts, for example, when I worked in Myanmar, I worked with the Drug Enforcement Division, in Thailand with the Thai Special Narcotics Division, Bolivia, Pakistan, Afghanistan. But if that relationship with that foreign counterpart is not to the level where bilateral cooperation is functional, then we're going to have a problem. Then those agents have no ability to really function in those countries, and then those criminal organizations will take advantage of U.S. law, move more narcotics into the country, and then it becomes our personal problem.
If you're just now joining me, we're talking with Michael Brown. He is the Global Director of Counter-Narcotics Technology at Rigaku Analytical Devices, a former senior DEA special agent, and he'll be checking in with us from time to time to help us work through, you know, the muddied waters of the war on drugs that we face globally and here on our streets. So explain to me the precursor chemical supply chain. I saw that in one of the notes. Explain to me, you know, what that is and how we can better, I don't know, do a better job at managing that.
Really, the precursor chemical supply chain is what I call the center of gravity. It's a critical capability that the cartels must have in order to produce especially fentanyl. Fentanyl, as you know, is a synthetic opioid. That means it's completely chemically based and it requires chemicals to make. Those chemicals come primarily from China, perhaps India to some degree, but primarily India is the primary source for the cartels to move those precursor chemicals, right? And we have what we call essential chemicals. Those are the primary chemicals required to make fentanyl. Now, there's only two ways to move chemicals from China to Mexico. That's either U.S. Or air parcel express or cargo or maritime transport. That represents the weakness within the cartel supply chain because narcotics or chemicals have to be shipped through a public domain controlled company to the cartels in Mexico, where they then take custody and produce it into narcotics. I believe that we in the United States need to develop a program using artificial intelligence, perhaps an intelligence analyst, to identify specifically how this precursor chemical supply chain works, who are the unwitting transporters of these chemicals, and how do we break that supply chain?
So explain to me then how this, and hopefully I'll get the name right, the technology can be used to speed up the accurate identification of the precursor chemicals.
Well, you're referring to Raman spectroscopy, and basically that's a handheld laser that can be shot into any substance it can see without opening it or touching it, and it will tell you exactly what it is. Now, when I worked in Myanmar's country attaché in 2017 to 2019, the major problem for the country of Myanmar was methamphetamine production, much like the problem in the United States with Mexico and fentanyl. But Myanmar, methamphetamine was being made from chemicals coming across the open land border from China. So I met with my counterparts and I said, your problem is not a law enforcement problem. It's a chemical analysis problem. You need the right technology to identify what's coming across your border to make an impact, to degrade the cartel precursor chemical supply chain in Myanmar. So I worked with a company called Rigaku at that time. I bought a number of their handheld devices. We trained the police. And within the first month of application, their seizure rate went up from 0 to 6 tons of benzene, which was labeled as another non-essential chemical. Right there, the counterparts saw that technology was the way to move forward with degrading that precursor chemical supply chain. And we were on track to put together a large strategic program for the Myanmar police, but then they had the coup, U.S. sanctions kicked in, and the U.S. was no longer able to support their initiative. But right there was the pilot that showed how technology can be used to degrade these precursor chemicals by identifying them before they get to the laboratory, thus making it more difficult for cartels to produce massive amounts of, for example, fentanyl in this case.
That's awesome, Michael. And last question I have for you this morning before we let you go then, because you mentioned using the AI technology also to enhance this. Now, you know, anymore, and I'm one of them, we have some concerns about AI technology and how rapidly it's growing. And I know that there's the flip side of that where it can be used for some really good things. And in this case, it sounds like that's one of the technologies that could at least enhance the officer's ability in the field to identify these precursor drugs, these precursor chemicals.
You know, we're at a critical, what we call the Rubicon point, where we have to make a decision in this country what we're going to do to mitigate this fentanyl threat. Obviously, we're not going to invade Mexico with military forces. Obviously, what we've been doing in DEA and other law enforcement agencies for 32 years hasn't been able to impact the ability of the cartels to acquire, produce, and distribute fentanyl into the United States. We are going to have to look at other measures, other lines of effort to aggressively go after the precursor chemical supply chain. Or we're just going to accept that next year we're going to have another 170,000 overdose fatalities. Those are the two choices that we're faced with. I think we can successfully manage AI with the right protocols and the right individuals in charge of those operations, but technology is there to be used positively or negatively. We simply have to manage it in the correct manner.
All right, Michael, we are just about out of time for this morning, but thank you, sir, so much for your time. I look forward to catching up with you in a few weeks. And if anything breaks, you know, on the war on drugs front or any other issues pertinent to, you know, our security here in America, please touch base with me. We'll get you right on so we can get that information out to our listeners.
That sounds good. That could be a daily call. So
absolutely.
We'll see how things go.
You bet. I look forward to it. Thank
All right,
you so
sir,
much.
You take care.
Take
Cheers.
Care. You bet.
Bye-bye.
Michael Brown, the Global Director of Counter-Narcotics Technology at Rigaku Analytical Services, former senior DEA special agent, and now a new regular contributor to this program. We're going to step aside. We'll be back. This is The Legend, 93.5 AM 930.